you for worshiping God, and thank you for having a hunger for the Word of God. Amen. While you're standing, we're going to focus on the Word this evening, and we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Amen. Where the Word of the Lord says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Somebody say, I've heard the Word. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, if words that were spoken by the angels of God are very important and steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, in other words, if it was rewarded as it should be according to the word, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Somebody say, I heard the word. God also bearing them witness both with signs, wonders, and with divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Amen. Praise God. I had Brother Ben to give us a scripture, and I want to read it for us real quick right now.
James 1 and 22 says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
So we're here to hear the word. How many of you are here also to do it? Beautiful. Beautiful. Amen. Nearly two-thirds. Hallelujah. So, we're here to do this thing because it's important. And that's why I want to talk about hear it and take heed. Hear it and take heed. Give it consideration. Give it deep thought. Understand that the word is true, the word is right, and that his word is forever settled. Amen. He went as far as to say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word. Somebody say, my word. All right. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's help. Jesus, we thank you again tonight for the Bible study. We ask you, Lord, to bless it to our hearing. Nurture us with it, Lord. Give it to us for truth. And let us not just hear it. Let us not just read it. Lord, help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. Praise God. Paul, in his epistle to the Hebrews, everybody believes that Paul wrote Hebrews, as well as his other epistles, exalts Jesus Christ to his rightful place of God manifest in the flesh. In the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews, Jesus and angels are the primary subject. While studying it, other pertinent truths will be revealed, of course, relative to both Jesus and angels. In this context and frame of reference, Paul sounds a warning to the Hebrews, as well as all Christians concerning the things that they have heard. Amen. He appeals to them and us as well on the basis of so great salvation. Its origin as well as its originator. In other words, neglecting this salvation, which involves allowing taught truths that we have learned, truth that we have that's been revealed unto us, to slip from us and be taken from our grip, it puts us in an inescapable position. Giving proper and necessary heed to salvational truths in the Word of God is essential for believers. if we are going to escape eternal damnation. Amen. So let me give you a few points to ponder, if you will. Amen. There are words and there's scripture that we're given, and they come to us from different venues. And I'd like to point a few of them out to you and let you know that when you hear these words from this area, then we need to bend our ears forward and we need to go that direction. Number one is the word spoken by the Lord. Somebody say, well, of course. Praise God. The Lord has spoken to man in many ways in the past, but in these last days he has spoken by his sonship through Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 1 and verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Amen. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the express image of God, and upholding all things by the word, by the word, by the word, all things by the word of his power. Amen. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Isn't there a verse 4? All right, let's forget that. Jesus, of course, is God, manifest in the flesh. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy. In other words, there's no argument. It's not even up for debate. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the spirit. God was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. All that was in Jesus was God. Amen. Hallelujah. So he was the express image. He was the very person of God. And so the word, according to John, was made flesh. He is set forth by Paul as being superior to the angels. Amen. And so this is my point. Since he is superior, and if what angels spoke was steadfast, how much more should we give heed to what Jesus Christ said? New Testament salvation from sin isn't philosophy. It's not modern men or a product of history. It was begun by Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible said it began with the Lord. Amen. It was the Lord who taught being born again as a necessity. He taught water baptism and spirit baptism while on earth in Matthew 28:19-20. Amen. In John and all these verses. He gave commandments to his apostles to be carried out after his ascension. Amen. And after his ascension, he sent back the Comforter or the Holy Ghost just as he promised. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I just want to take you back down a road of history. Scripture I know you're very familiar with. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. That means every one of them. And then verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there is no saying, I live for God like this because this is the kind of church I go to. Or I live for God like this is because this is what I believe when I watch TV on Sunday morning. Or this is what I believe and this is how I'm going to heaven, but that's not even scripture. And it's the Word of God that's going to judge us at the last day. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the Word of God without confusion. And that's the thing that we want to delete. Amen. And look at Acts chapter 10, verses 44 and 48. We want to understand that it went to the Jews and it went to the Gentiles. Amen. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. There's the word all again. In other words, it is not the will of God for a chosen few to have this Holy Ghost, but it is the will of God for all of us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they of the circumcision, which were Jews, which believed, were shocked. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so here it is, being poured out on everybody. Why? How did they know? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water?" Why? "That these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we," just like we did. They received it just like we did. And now it's time for them to be baptized just like we did. Amen. And he commanded, he didn't ask if they wanted to, he commanded them to be baptized. How? "In the name of the Lord." Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Amen. I like that last part. They prayed and they wanted Peter to stay and tarry certain days because they wanted to know what just happened. While I'm speaking to you right now, it's happening all around the world that pastors of denominational congregations are obtaining this truth. Amen. And when they obtain this truth, they share it with their congregation. And then they have apostolic pastors and preachers to come, just like Simon Peter did at Cornelius' place. It's happening right now. It's happening right here in North Carolina. Brother Hogue and Brother Glenn Delaney's church, I preached there Sunday morning after service. He told, it was in Sanford. The church there off Lemon Springs Road, and Brother Simpson, his assistant, told me after service, he said, "I've been preaching for this Lutheran church." He said, "Since I've been preaching for them, they've lost a pastor. And when they lost a pastor, they bunched up and wanted me to come and be their pastor." And he said, "I've been going there preaching." He said, "They're getting the truth." He said, "The whole congregation's coming to the truth." Right here in North Carolina. Hey, get ready. Get ready for revival. While there are those that are leaving because of their feeling and what they thought and what they felt. Amen. Understand this. If you'll cling to what the Word of God says, God is going to give us apostolic end time revival. It's not going to be a feel good. It's going to be a right. It's going to be a real, and it's going to be good. It's going to be mighty, it's going to be powerful, and it's going to be wonderful. Amen. So we need to take heed to the word spoken by the Lord. Amen. Neglecting the salvation and his teaching will put us in an inescapable position. And so we can't allow the saving doctrine to slip from our lives especially not the church. Praise God. Number two, we should take heed to the word spoken by apostles. Amen. Salvation truths first taught by Jesus were confirmed. They were taught. They were established. They were made sure by those who heard him. God bore witness to this confirmation and continuation of the salvation message, of course, with signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Someone asked me not long ago, they said, "Brother Marshburn, are you guys done with that building?" I said, "Yes, we got it done." He said, "God gave you a miracle." I said, "Yes, sir. It was signs and wonders and blunders." But we got it did. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, but signs and miracles and gifts and wonders, amen. That's a significant approval of God's truths that he has given to us. Amen. And I know the denominational expressions. I understand all of that. I came out of that world. I wasn't committed to any one thing. Just whoever's bus got there first was the one that I rode to church. And then God gave me truth. I found truth, ladies and gentlemen. I just didn't find a church that preached like this, but I found truth. Amen. And I thank God for truth. Hallelujah. And though viciously attacked, listen, New Testament writers have preserved with precision the Lord's teaching, confirming the salvation message. Again, it began with the Lord. Paul, who received it by revelation, wrote of it and propagated it, and it was identical to the Word of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. I want you to notice what God wants from every congregation. He said, "Now I beseech you." In other words, if he were saying that tonight, he would point his finger at you. He said, "Now I'm telling you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Amen. That doesn't leave much room for everybody to have their own religion. I don't have my own religion. You don't have your own religion. We've got a religion that came from the apostles. And so it's attacked, especially during, it was attacked in the Dark Ages. It's attacked now. God's word has been preserved and handed down to us for centuries. Neglecting this salvation, or simply letting it slip away from us, has eternal consequences. Amen. And then point number three, we should take heed to those that taught us these truths. Amen. Not being privileged to sit at the feet of Jesus or his apostles doesn't in any way negate our responsibility to the truth. A lot of centuries have been removed, I understand that. From the date of its origin, I understand that. This great salvation and how to obtain it has been preserved for us, even though. When Paul referred to the things which we have heard, talking about Hebrews 2 and 1, he was not implying that we had to hear them from Jesus himself, or an angel specifically, or the apostles in order to give heed to them. So long as truth is taught us as set forth in the Word of God, in the Scripture, from whatever source it may come, we are responsible to hold it in esteem, guarding it, lest we slip and fall away. Amen. Praise God. Now, we need... I want to give you a couple of additional points tonight in order for us to thoroughly understand. I want us to comprehend that we need to adhere. We need to listen. There's things that we just cannot slip away from. Amen. There's things that we cannot let fall by the wayside. While your parents and parents, good parents, are definitely people that we must pay attention to. Amen. While your parents, if they weren't taken from you, may not have known or taught you the truth of salvation, no doubt good parents instilled many valuable principles into your life. Old-fashioned teaching, if you will, by training and example, relative to morals, honesty, truthfulness, virtue, honor, etc. These are valuable to your life, and you can't let those things slip. So a parent taught you, you need to tell the truth. So a parent taught you at 3 years old that you don't steal cookies from the cookie jar, hoping that by the time you're an adult, you never rob a bank. And you adhere to that and you never rob a bank because you listen to what your parents told you. If indeed we should adhere to what our parents are teaching and telling us, how much the more should we pay attention to what the Word of God is trying to teach us? Because we want to do more than just not rob a bank. I'd like to make heaven my home. Amen. And then there are teachers that come our way. If we have been privileged to go to Sunday school or church, we've heard basic, simple truths of how to live. My ministry has been somewhat of a miracle. I didn't get to go. I never went to one youth camp. I never went to Bible college. And I never attended Sunday school. When I got in church, the church was having such a revival, they were breaking out walls and we didn't have room for classes. I never went to Sunday school, never graduated Bible college, yada, yada. And one of the first things that happens in North Carolina, I become Sunday school director of the section. Then I become Sunday school director of the state. And then I become Sunday school director of a portion of the nation. And God was with me. And numbers went up. Revival took place. We saw hundreds of children receive the Holy Ghost. And SOC was up in reaching out and reaching our world. And just beautiful and wonderful things took place. And so if that can happen for a person that's never even had that honor and the opportunity and the privilege to sit under teaching like that, then how much more can people accomplish that have had the honor and the privilege of sitting down and hearing it taught and hearing it preached and sung about and expressed through the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. And so if we've been privileged like that, even our school teachers and professors have imparted good things to us that we need to retain. Agreed, not all facets of our education may have been Bible-based. Those that were, retain. Amen. In other words, I teach what we should do was eat every bit of the fish, but spit out the bones. You read a book by a good Trinitarian, you take the truths that he speaks of and the illustrations he uses to bring forth those truths, and you sink those indelibly into your heart. But whatever is not truth, you just spit it out like it's bones. Amen? Praise God. And so it is with professors. So it is with colleges. And agreed, not all facets of education our Bible-based. We understand that. Amen. Paul said, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. In other words, Paul was saying, let go of the bad, hold on to the good. And then, of course, there are going to be pastors. Along with your pastor, God has given us ministries to preach and teach truth. Every sermon you hear should be examined in the light of the Word of God. Not by what it makes you feel like. The Bible says you cannot go by your heart because your heart is deceitfully wicked. Amen. And so we go by the truth, by the Word of God. Now, occasionally, going by the Word, if it's preached like it should be, if it's taught like it should be, if it's sung about like it should be, you're going to get goosebumps. You're going to run the aisles, you're going to weep, you're going to cry, and you're going to get all those emotions and those feelings. But don't put the emotion ahead of the Scripture. You let the Word of God be ahead of the emotion. Amen. And then, of course, there's God's Word. Though preached and taught by others to us, we have a responsibility to study, we have a responsibility to learn and understand it for ourselves. We will answer to God for ourselves according to the Word of God. So it's important. In the last days, it was prophesied, so we've been warned, that in the last days, there would be a famine. And the man of God said it's not going to be a famine of food. It's going to be a starvation of the Word of God. People will stand before God with no knowledge of the Scripture and have no They will have no leverage. Never before. People that can't read can have it read to them right on their phones. People, the Word of God has never been so accessible as it is today. People will be without excuse. All it takes to know and have a relationship with the Word of God is this: a want to. All you've got to do is want to. Don't let Jesus point his finger at you at judgment and say, you didn't want to. You never wanted to. We feel sometimes that we won't be accountable to it because we don't know it. But we don't know it because we don't want to. And then last, there's God's Spirit. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. One of the very many reasons why we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because we need His guidance. We need His leadership. We need Him as a teacher, a guide, a reminder, a reprover. Amen. And God's grace that saves us, teaches us how we should live in this world. God can and does speak to you in unmistakably clear tones. Never let slip what you have heard from Him. Amen. Don't slip away. Amen. Things like modest dress codes, principles of decency, honesty, holiness, separation, many things. They're now being attacked by liberal philosophers among us, as they're called. It's called legalism, Phariseeism. It's influenced by a decadent lifestyle. It's our society, the permissiveness of the times, their newfound First Amendment freedom of speech, dress, right to pornography, etc. These false prophets of modernism are called for an abandonment of what we have heard that is right. They're calling for a dismissal of all of that. These self-seeking proponents of a glorious freedom seek to deliver the ignorant, dated, old-fashioned saints of God from a bondage imposed upon them by a previous generation of preachers, parents, and statesmen who were ignorant and out of touch. Such so-called scholars who have received a few degrees, learned a little Greek, they learned a little bit of Hebrew, and found new light, are nothing more than prayerless, compromising, convictionless hirelings. I'm sorry, but that's what they are. Products of a generation of luxury and ease. They think they are the anointed, sent to widen the straight gate and broaden the narrow way, but it will never be widened and it will never be broadened. And we can follow them for the few years that they are popular, and then when they decide to sell facial cream instead of preach, then we'll know. Our teachers, those from whom we've heard, are not ignorant, outdated. They're evangelists of yesteryears. Truth is relevant to every generation. And I don't apologize that the truth is still the same as it was from the first generation. Thank God for some sameness in this world. Holiness is God's lowest standard. Return to the faith once delivered to the saints, he said. Deny yourself, crucify the flesh, perfect holiness in the sight of God. And the Bible said, give earnest heed to what you have heard. This, the scripture says, you ought to do. Amen. So, in closing, within the next few moments, How can we let these things slip? There's untold enemies and innumerable foes that attack sound principles of truth. We know that. Never have so many stood for so little and so many abandoned so much. None escape the relentless onslaught of hell against God's church. Being subjected to the pressures of our peers, false teachers, strong voices, it becomes incumbent upon us to give earnest heed to the truth, lest we let it slip. Amen. Praise God. Reviewing, restating, rehearsing, repeating it over and over again. Principles of truth will keep them fresh in our minds and in our hearts. Would do us good to learn a little Hebrew and find out that generations past, that every time they sat down for a meal, the children would put their finger to the honey and then put the honey to their tongue, and they would quote the scripture, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Because as they quoted it, the parents wanted a sweet taste on their tongue. Would to God that we repeated, that we continue to quote, and that our children will not grow up confused and confounded by every wind of doctrine that blows. Amen. But that they will be rooted and grounded in the truth. And that not only that, it will have a sweet taste and a sweet flavor to their tongue. Satan's a thief of God's word. And through negligence, he causes us to let truth slip away. Repetition is one of the most effective ways to establish practice principles, and that's why we read our Bible every year. Parents, let's not grow weary in rehearsing the blessed story over and over and over again. Let it be at an early age that your children can quote Acts 2:38. Being preoccupied with truth and eternal values rather than things of the lesser value will turn Satan and his attempt to slip the Word of God away from us. Our life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that we possess, so let's seek these things which are above, setting our affection upon them, actively pursuing the truth, taking heed to the truth, practicing the truth and what is holy and what is right and what is real. Can you say amen? Often, we don't even miss the things which exit quietly from our lives. And years later, we're wondering where all the truth went, where all the good went, where all the praise, where all the worship. Where did all the prayer go? Where did all the righteousness go? What happened? What turned me around? Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Praise God. There is a touch of God. When you speak of God's word being truth, when you speak of God's word being relevant and the only word, I cannot help but feel that there's a host of angels that join with us. The scripture lets me know that the very angels of God desire the things that you and I receive from God. Now, angels may not have to go through a lot of the hassle we go through, but we've been blessed. We had the opportunities to receive the Holy Ghost. We have opportunities to be baptized in that wonderful, marvelous name. Amen. Can I tell you what it takes to make it? It takes a tenacious will. Tenacious. And It must be more tenacious than our storms. It must be more tenacious than our ups and downs and all arounds. It must be more tenacious than relationships. It's got to be more tenacious than family. You saying, I got to put my family before my God? Are you serious? Are you really asking me that? That's not even a question. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have that family. He gave it to you. He gave it to you to nourish. He gave it to you to strengthen. He gave it to you to be the high priest and share the truth. And some of them grabbing on to the truth. Don't cause confusion now. Tenaciousness. And then being more tenacious than anything that comes against you. Praise God. Amen. Why don't we just simply close our eyes and let's bow our heads. And let's ask the Lord not to just let us be hearers, but doers. Not to just hear it, but to take heed to it. Master, in the name of Jesus tonight, we pray, as David prayed, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, God bless every heart in the house tonight. Let us leave taller, stronger, more strength. Let us leave, Lord, more tenacious, with a more of a made-up mind and a gut grit determination to stand for this truth and to be a part of that end-time apostolic revival that is beginning to sweep our nation right now like a tsunami of the Holy Ghost. We want to be swept away by that, God. We want to be a part of that. And everybody said, in the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you again for being here tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name.